This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
And now for our next story. So we recently heard Selangor and Kuala Lumpur Prisons Director Abdul Kadir Rais was actually quoted as saying that under his charge, prisons had exceeded the capacity limit of 8,200 by 3,700, which is almost 50%.
So Samantha Chong, who's a lawyer, has called for sentencing guidelines to ensure the proportionality of punishment to crimes, especially in the case of petty offences. Speaking to FMT, Samantha said the availability of such guidance to the courts would go some way towards resolving the issue of overcrowding in prisons.
Specifically, she said the current principles laid down in case laws weren't enough to ensure the fitness of punishment for things like petty crimes, you know, possession of small amounts of narcotics, theft motivated by hunger. And the idea here is that the courts should have guidance on factors like the severity of harm suffered by victims and the blameworthiness of the offender. And part of that is another example given was where our drug laws work, it's all down to weight. Mm-hmm. So there are none of these other mitigating factors that enter the picture. It's just like, oh, you're carrying this amount, whatever the drug may be, whatever the circumstances may be, this is the prison sentence. And I guess that's where we are.
Yeah, and maybe the conversation needs to shift from just, you know, straight up putting them right into prisons to a place where, okay, what was actually causing what's the reason behind why you committed such a crime? In this case, Samantha mentioned the reason why, maybe theft motivated by hunger. And that's an important part of the conversation, because if they had done it out of a desperate situation, where was it in our system? Where did we fail them? And that's something that we need to address.
Where did we fail them? And also, should mercy enter the picture, mm-hmm. right? What is justice in a situation like this? So to understand a little bit more about this, we're going to be speaking to Dr. Muhammad Taufik Muhammad, who is a social work lecturer over at USM. And we'll be back for that conversation right after this. It's the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to the Evening Edition today. It is 6:46 and we're talking about whether or not we need to adjust the way we sentence people because basically there's overcrowding in prisons and it's a problem that needs addressing. So we're speaking to Dr. Muhammad Taufik Muhammad, social work lecturer at USM. Dr. Taufik, thanks for joining us. Currently, are there guidelines in place for how lengthy or lengthier or severe sentences are decided?
Okay, when we are talking about sentences and also like the punishment of crime, something that we need to look into is the risk of the offenders. So theoretically, the risk of the offenders can be divided into low and also high and also somewhere in the middle. A lot of the assessments that are available in other countries say that the main principle is that only those offenders who are categorized in the high risk should be sentenced into a severe punishment, something like that. So, however, this kind of guideline, this kind of categorization of risk is not practice in Malaysia. So currently, we are only using professional judgment, which can be tainted with bias. So a lot of offenders who should be categorized with a low-risk category receive the similar punishment with a high-risk category. So this is the current reality of the Malaysian criminal justice system. Yeah.
What is the solution to overcrowding then? Would it be to build more prisons or to reform the justice system to a way where it doesn't require as much prison time for certain crimes? Is it a multi-pronged approach?
Yeah, so because there is no proper categorization of offenders, so this leads to overcrowding in prisons, right? Because we do not really differentiate those with a low-risk status and also a high-risk status. So this is why we put everyone in a prison, so now there is an issue of overcrowding. So, however, the solution is actually, theoretically, it is easy. It is to build one risk assessment, risk and need assessment, where we can actually, it is similar to an actuarial risk assessment that insurance people always use. So it is similar with this kind of risk assessment to determine whether an offender is of a low risk or high risk category. So one of the solutions is to build a risk assessment suitable and applicable within the Malaysian context. So if we have this risk assessment, then we can subject the right offenders to the right intervention, because as I said just now, only high-risk offenders should be subjected to severe punishment, and low-risk offenders should receive minimal or no intervention at all. So if we know that this offender is of a low-risk offender, then we know that we should not send them to prison. And according to statistics, in many other countries, a lot of offenders are actually categorized as low-risk offenders. So there is a likelihood that in Malaysia it's also the same, where a lot of people, a lot of offenders who are actually in prison right now, they are actually, they should be categorized as low-risk offenders. So this is one of the solutions, I believe.
And would the introduction of this be effective in addressing the issue of overcrowding, or is overcrowding in prisons in and of itself a result of other contributing factors that need to be addressed?
Obviously, this is not a one-size-fits-all kind of solution. There should be other kind of approaches that need to be integrated in the criminal justice system. For example, even if some offenders would be categorized as high-risk offenders, however, they still could be subjected to alternative justice that has been supported by countless studies to be more effective than incarceration. For example, restorative justice. Restorative justice is a great way to train high-risk offenders, even low-risk offenders, of course, but I'm focusing on high-risk offenders right now. Restorative justice could train high-risk offenders to build higher empathy towards their victims or towards other people who are not their victims, like, for example, the community at large. So they, by building empathy, then their risk of recidivism could be reduced. So the type of justice that we are practicing in the community justice system is also important, because the risk assessment is only to categorize offenders, so we know what kind of interventions that we should do. And then after we categorize them, then the type of interventions need the Malaysian justice system need reform when it comes to intervention, the right intervention for the offenders.
So lawyer Samantha Chong has said that sentences such as good behaviour bonds and social welfare support for offenders rather than jail time would better serve the public depending on the crime. You mentioned restorative justice there. Do these forms of sentencing adequately address worries of offenders returning to our society?
Of course, in Malaysia, there are other forms of sentencing or interventions, as we social workers say. For example, among youth, it is possible to subject them to a community service orders, and also some other types of non-custodial kind of interventions. So in face value, it is a very welcome initiative, because generally, non-custodial interventions, they demonstrated higher effectiveness than incarceration, than custodial intervention. However, the implementation of the alternative kind of sentencing need also to be considered. So, for example, community service order. To whom are we sending the offenders when they are doing the community service order? So, like for example, when they are doing some kind of work in the community setting, are they having any contact at all with the community member, which is a very important element in the effectiveness of community service order. So without any contact with community members, then there is still a gap between the community and also the offenders, which will not provide any kind of effectiveness that usually is offered by community service when it is implemented properly. So, of course, there are other forms of sentencing that may address these worries. However, there should be deeper investigation and consideration on the nuances of the implementation. Criminal justice reform, it is a very challenging task. So it actually starts with the initiative by academics. We need to have better research and also R&D effort in order to understand what kind of reforms that Malaysian criminal justice system needs, like what kind of intervention that we need to introduce in the justice system. So I invite the Malaysian academics to think about what kind of things that can be improved, that need to start with scientific research and scientific findings. So it has to start with academics. And then policymakers can make use of the findings in order to improve the justice system.
So overall then, when it comes to public sentiment, is there a sense in Malaysia that prisoners and criminals can be reformed? As a society, how forgiving are we?
Actually, I have conducted a study on this. I ask the Malaysian people in general, like if they have any conflict with other people, or for example, if they have been a victim of crime, what kind of resolution method that they prefer. Quite a number of respondents that I interviewed, they actually are okay with forgiveness and also the offenders offering apologies. Some Malaysian respondents, of course, they are skeptical with the idea because according to them, apology is quite easy. However, at the right time, if it is implemented carefully and appropriately, apology can be a very powerful tool. And offering forgiveness to the offender can also be a therapeutic experience for the victims also. So there is a proportion of the Malaysian sample in my study that actually agrees with forgiving the offenders, maybe accompanied with some conditions, but they are generally okay with the idea. So the findings of my study give hope that criminal justice reform in Malaysia can be done as long as everyone is on board with it, especially the policymakers, especially the professionals like the responders, for example, the police, the probation officers. They are on board with the idea because somehow offering alternative kind of justice may shift the responsibilities a little bit, which can be intimidating. So, however, there is hope.
Dr. Taufik, thanks for joining us. That was Dr. Mohamad Taufik Mohamad, social work lecturer at USM, weighing in on the subject of overcrowding in prisons, because we recently heard from lawyer Samantha Chong, who said maybe we need better sentencing guidelines to ensure the proportionality of punishment to crime. So if you have any thoughts on it, do you agree with this? Do you think that that would help solve this issue of overcrowding in prisons? You can call 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and you can, of course, tweet us at BFM Radio. Azami says, we just need gutsy judges to spearhead changes. Options are already provided in law. Use it.
I wonder if we face the same problems as America does, where, like, because the fastest, the most efficient, the most, quote-unquote, in your eyes, productive way to just solve it is to, well, you can't pay the fine, you just serve jail time.
I also think, to Azami's point, it is a question of also rejigging how we look at crime, which is, I think, at the very heart also of what Samantha is calling for, which is we need to look at the crime in context, mm-hmm. you know, as opposed to just looking at it in terms of the cold, hard facts of the situation. But keep those thoughts coming. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio, and of course, call 7733 2900.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.